Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Are you glad you came to church today? And this nice hot, it's going to be another hot one. Amen. September morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. You know, as I was waking up this morning, I had something on my heart finishing the message, but even there was something on my heart for this service, or I believe it was on my heart, and so I wanted to share it with the service. How's that sound? Amen. Praise the Lord. And what I want to talk about first is gender roles. Praise God. Hallelujah. Gender roles. I'm not talking about those things. Sometimes you get a little bit older, you know, and things are kind of sagging a little bit, or things aren't where they should be. That's not what we mean by gender roles. Hallelujah. I got some roles here myself. But no, we're talking about I was thinking about the idea of men and women, you know, and how that is under such great attack today. You know, and you hear people on one side or the other, and generally it's on one side now, but you, and I'm not talking about politically, I'm talking about one side. Usually it's like, you know, people are attacking, like, you know, this idea of what women were or what men were, and people get offended really easily about things. I said to my wife as I was coming into this thought process, I was like, you know, like, why do people have such a hard time with what you're made to be? You know what I mean? Like, I don't ever expect that I'm going to play in the NBA. I just don't, right? I'm not the right height. I can't throw a basketball to save my life. Amen. I don't expect that I will ever be a professional hockey player. Amen. I just don't do it. And I don't get mad. I don't get offended by that. It's not something that, are you with me here today? Praise the Lord. I'm not upset because I'm not those things. Amen. You know, I can do some things. There's some things I'm talented in, very few. And there's other things I'm not talented at all in. But I don't sit around getting mad because somebody else is or designed or just, you know, some people can sing really good. I can't sing good. I love to sing. It doesn't stop me. But I just don't sing professionally, amen? I'm not going to make my millions off of singing, praise the Lord. But my point is that, you know, to be a woman, if you're a woman, is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. And the things that entails, you ain't got to be a man. Why would you want to be a man? Like, it doesn't understand. And if you're a man, why would you want to be a woman? There's no, you know what I'm saying? Like, we have these women that are trying to be, you know, they're trying to compete with men and all this in various areas. And the whole idea of the competition is foolishness in the first place. Why? Because if you're not as good in a certain area, then why would it matter to you? I'm not saying we can't work for things or be, you know, become better. Praise the Lord. It's important that we are effective with, we find out like who we are and how we're effective the way we are. Yeah. This man, she said, well, what does this matter for church? It matters a lot for church because there's a lot of noise around us and we get distracted by a lot of things. People get distracted by a lot of things. And if you just do what God has called you to do and you just be what God has made you to be, you're going to be fruitful. Yeah. You know, I've got a phone here. It does a lot of things. But if I don't know what it doesn't do me a lick of good, does it? The same thing with us, whatever our giftings are, whatever our abilities are, praise the Lord. You know, there's proof, there's scientific evidence that certain races are better at certain things. That doesn't make one superior to another. It just means that in that area they may be. It just means that they're good at that certain thing. But why would that matter to anybody? You see, it's foolishness that people get so wrapped up in this stuff. Well, I hope that you're still with me. I mean, that is something good for us, and it applies to today's message in the sense. And I'm not preaching on gender roles. Praise the Lord. Today's message is called "Good Soil, Good Harvest." Praise the Lord. I'm preaching on your heart. But you know, a lot of these things are heart issues. A lot of the things that we deal with in society are heart issues. You know, there's a lot of things that would be fixed very quickly if people just had their heart right. Amen. There will be a lot of things that would be changed in people's lives if their heart would just be right. In fact, I will say that almost every single problem that I see people face as a pastor has less to do with an outward circumstance and has more to do with an inward circumstance. It's because their hearts aren't right. You know what I mean? You know, there's a place, you know, faith is about our hearts. Faith is about where our heart is. This whole walk with God is about our heart. God doesn't care. You know, it's just like offerings and giving. Like Jesus was very clear. He talked a lot about offerings and giving. But people, it's just like the genders. People will get wrapped up in the logistics of it or whatever, and they'll forget that God just wants your heart to be right. It doesn't matter. He doesn't care what it is. You know, the Bible tells us about a woman who gave two mites. And that, those two mites, there were two little bits, I don't know exactly offhand how much money it was, but we know that it wasn't a lot. And Jesus said that she gave more than all. And it had nothing to do with the amount that she gave. But see, people get wrapped up in what it is instead of getting wrapped up in what God wants. Amen. And so it's a heart issue. And so the problems that Christians face oftentimes are a heart issue. And it's because, see, if your heart is right before the Lord, then you can be confident going forward in the things that God has for you. If you trust God. Now, that there's another aspect of it, you know, that people don't trust God. But, you know, if you don't trust God, I would question whether or not you're even a believer at all. You know, and so that we need to get you there. But, you know, people not trusting God will keep you out from the blessing. You know, a lot of times people come to God, but then they resist him. And when you resist God, you can't get blessed by him. And so you won't see God. We see that even with Jesus. When Jesus was here, God in the flesh, when he walked this earth, people that resisted him received nothing from him. I said they received nothing. You cannot receive from God if you resist. And this is all a heart issue. Amen? Praise the Lord. The heart is a very funny thing. Because in society, we're taught about a heart that loves, praise the Lord. But we're not really told how that works. And that's because most people in society don't know how it works. You know, people in schools and stuff like teachers and stuff like that, they can't teach it because they don't understand it. Mostly because they want to keep this thing out of the church, out of the school. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not advocating that I want people preaching in school either, because I don't know what they're preaching. I don't know what to believe, praise the Lord. There's a lot of Christians, I don't care if they're Christians or not, I don't want them preaching to my kids. Why? Because they're not preaching the truth. I would rather be able to tell my people, hey, listen, these people, or my kids, like when we send our kids to school, we have to listen. You're going to hear a lot of things that just aren't true. But you got to go. Amen? But, you know, so that's important. But there's a lot of Christians that don't believe this word, and they'll teach you things that are worse than some of the things the children of the devil are teaching. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen? So I'm not advocating for that, but I'm saying that the complete blocking of it, the trying to completely stifle religion in school, it's ridiculous. What it does is it hurts people from going forward. There used to be, in this country, there used to be a level of respect for the things of God. Whether or not people went, there was a level of respect for them. You know, the church used to be, back in the day, it used to be that, when our Fredonia church was built, in the early days of Fredonia, the historic building there, when that was built, they literally, everybody from the town, whether they went to the church or not, contributed and built the church because they recognized that it was important. Today, people like to see churches close. Like, even the Christians like to see it close. You know, there's a lot of Christians a new church will open up and they'll be like, they'll just automatically, they won't even find out what the doctrine is. They'll just be like, oh, we're jealous. We don't, you know, they won't say that, but that's what it really amounts to. You know, if you get people, I have pastors that don't like me now today because my congregation's growing and theirs is not. Well, listen, that has nothing to do with me. That has everything to do with how I follow God. If you follow God and you're called to it, it'll grow too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God wants to do good things in us, but it's a heart issue. With us, it's always, Jesus is always working on the heart. And that's why God allows us to, he doesn't bring us into trial, or he doesn't put trial on us, but he will bring us through trial because he's generally trying to get us to see something. Amen. And it's about the heart. It's about trusting him. Amen. So it all begins with the heart. Turn with me to Genesis. We're going to start in 8:22. And this scripture will not be unfamiliar to you, or at least it shouldn't be. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. Glory. So Genesis 8:22. What does it say here? It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. While the earth remains. How long is this going to happen? For as long as the earth remains, right? Praise the Lord. As the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. There are certain principles that we can rely on. It's amazing to me that through the word, God always talks about, he almost always likens everything to either harvest, fruitfulness, growth of some sort. He likens the kingdom of God to this over and over and over. Jesus talked about it over and over and over. There's a reason he did. And the reason he did is because God said way back here in Genesis, through the prophet Moses, said way back here that seed time and harvest will not cease. Now, there's other things he said will not cease, but today we're focusing on seed time and harvest. Amen. It's about the heart. We're going to see how these connect here in a few minutes. Praise the Lord. God is very clear about the purpose of seed time and harvest. He says that when you sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent, right? It'll come back to you. If you put the right kind of seed in the right kind of ground, you will get a harvest. Conversely, if you put the wrong kind of seed into the wrong kind of ground, you're going to get a negative harvest, a bad harvest. If you put the wrong kind, if you put the wrong kind of seed into good ground, you're going to get a bad harvest. And if you put the right kind of seed into bad ground, you're going to get a bad harvest. Amen. And so these things are important for us to understand. God, this is a very, very, very scriptural principle that occurs from Genesis all the way through Revelation. This is something that we need to get hold of. We need to understand. It is about seed time and harvest is something that's always affected. And it's affected by the condition. Our heart is always the soil. Amen. This is where we plant. You know, we're gonna see some things here, including the sower sows a word, but he sows it into the heart of man. The heart of man is where all the things that God is doing begins. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let's turn to Matthew. Turn to Matthew 13:24. Praise the Lord. Matthew 13:24. Let's see here. What did Jesus say here? Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field." So the kingdom of heaven, again, here we see it. The kingdom of heaven works, it's like a man who sowed good seed into his field. Amen? So, you know, this is the principle we need to understand here. The seed matters, and the field matters. Notice he says into his field, right? You don't sow it into someone else's field. You know the field. You should know the field that you're sowing into. Amen? This is why it's very important when we give financial seeds or we give our time seeds, whatever we do, we need to know what we're sowing into. Is it a good place to sow into? Because the harvest will be determined by what and where we're sowing. Amen? And so we need to make sure that these are right. Now, today we are going to focus again on the human heart. We're going to be focusing on us individually. Because many times the reason Christians can sit in church and they can hear the word, but many times the reason that they don't ever see the harvest is because they never till the soil of their heart. You know, I was thinking about this. When you in the springtime, when you see the farmers getting ready to plant, the first thing they do out there is go out there in the field with heavy equipment. And what do? They till the soil. They break up the clumps. You may get some harvest if you just go throw seed on the ground. But you're not going to get a full harvest. It takes it to be properly, seed to be properly planted to get a full harvest. Amen? Glory to God. You here with me today? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Just want to make sure, because it's a little bit quiet. Maybe you got a little bit of the weekend on you. But listen, we want to receive from the Word of God. We don't want to not receive. And you don't receive. This is where the heart's first right. We got to till up the heart. Amen? And the first thing we got to do, if we don't come to church, I'm just going to tell you. If we can't come to church excited and moved, don't come, because you're just coming. You're not going to get anything. If you come with the heart, we see it with Jesus. If you come with the heart that I'm just there, I'm just here because this is what I got to do, then you're not going to receive anything. We got to be excited about the things of God if we want to see the things of God work in our lives. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So Jesus put this other parable before him. The kingdom of heaven is like a man sowing seed in his field, good seed in his field. So we understand that this is how the kingdom of heaven works. The kingdom of heaven is everything that God has for us. It's everything that's included in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Praise the Lord, right? It's everything that's included, everything that God, the way God works in the kingdom, the way he works through his kingdom, his people. Praise the Lord. All of this is affected by this scripture. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, if you're there in Matthew 13:24, flip back to Matthew 9:38. Glory to God. What did he say here? He said, and we again, this is another scripture I know that we've heard. But he says, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Okay? But look at what God calls himself. You know, again, this is a quote from Jesus. God calls himself the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. That means that he is the God over the harvest. That means that the harvest is something that defines our God. And so if we're children of this God, the harvest should also define us. The harvest should be what our lives should be marked by the harvest. Our lives are determined by the harvest that is our lives, praise the Lord. Well, the things that we do. Some people's harvests are going to be they're going to be sporting events and picnics. That's what some people's harvest is going to be. It's going to be, oh, you know, I did a lot. Some people's harvest is just going to be, I worked. That's all I did. God has never called us to just focus on these things. He called us to be children of God. He's called us to operate in his kingdom. If we are children of, if he is the Lord of the harvest, and we are children of the harvest, and we better have a harvest, and a harvest that is a harvest that is right under toward God. Amen? One that does him service. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Okay, so we see this. Okay, there's a lot, and I haven't even touched on all the scriptures, even begun to touch on all the scriptures on harvest and sowing and tilling and all that stuff. But we kind of set it up there is what I want to do. So now go with me to Mark 4. Praise God. Now we're going to stay here for just a little bit. Mark 4:1. Praise God, hallelujah. Mark 4:1-9. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him. So that he got into the boat and sat on it in the sea, and a whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. So what do we know of God? He's a sower. He's the Lord of the harvest. So a sower, one who wants harvest must also sow, right? Praise the Lord. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, but because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Praise the Lord. And then he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Praise the Lord. So we only see, in verse 9, we see a very important scripture. Jesus said this many times. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. These are someone who is going to determine that they want to hear. Someone who's determined they want to hear. Praise the Lord. You can determine that you don't want to hear. If you come into church and you're just like, I ain't going to get anything out of this, then you ain't going to get anything out of it. That's just the way it is. I can't make God make you get anything out of it. Praise the Lord. God can't make you get anything out of it. People come in offended. I'm offended, I'm mad, or I'm just going to come in and pick apart the service. If that's the way you come into church, you're going to receive anything. Listen, we have to understand that the principle worked this way with God when he was on the earth, and it works this way still. Amen? But we see that God gave us examples. Jesus gave us examples of different kinds of seed falling on what? Different kinds of ground. Actually, I'm sorry, the same seed falling on different kinds of ground. Amen? And that's the important thing to understand. And we're going to get into the explanation of this here in a minute. But what I want you to first see is that he was clearly defining that there's different types of soil, but the seed was all the same. The seed that was planted, this seed that I preach is the same to everyone who's here. It will affect everyone here differently. The reason it will affect everyone differently is because everybody determines how it's going to affect them. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, so you're in verse 9. Let's go down to verse 13. Praise the Lord. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. This is what we do week in, week out. Every Monday or every Sunday, every Tuesday, every Saturday, sometimes on Wednesdays, whenever else we preach a message, we're sowing the word. Where are we sowing it to? You guys are the field. You guys are the ground. You're the dirt. You're the harvest field. I didn't call you a dirt ball. Praise the Lord, but you pretty much are. Amen. We got to break up those clumps. We got to get you to be able to receive it. But we're all dirt balls. Amen. Praise the Lord. Literally, actually, we are. You know that. You know, God formed us from the dirt, and that's what our bodies are made up of. So we are dirt balls pretty much. Amen. But we're good dirt balls. Praise the Lord. Or we want to be good dirt balls. We determine whether or not we're going to be good dirt balls or not. Right? Praise the Lord. Now, somebody get mad and they'll say, oh, that pastor down there, he called us a bunch of dirt balls. Well, praise the Lord. You can get mad and offended. Praise God. Hallelujah. Probably also didn't like anything I said about the genders either. Just saying. And if you don't, well, glory to God. Take up a cause against it. I don't care what you do. Praise the Lord. The sower sows the word. This is very important for us to understand. We can also be sowers. Just because you are ground does not mean that you can't be a sower. In fact, the Bible tells us that we should be sowers. And right here we have proof of something, you know, that we need to be doing. We need to be sowing the word. If you want the harvest that is promised here, the only way this happens, the only way that the harvest happens out of here is by sowing it. I don't mean go take your Bible out into the backyard, dig a hole, throw it in, and then fill it up. And then go stand over it and wait for a harvest. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is that you have to sow the word. We know that you sow the word through your words. It's called the word. And a word is something that's meant to be spoken. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so that's what we need to do. The sower sows the word. But God also has sowed the word. And these are the ones that, by the wayside where the word was sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Immediately. What happens, see, this happens every Sunday. Every time there's a message, this happens. I sit here and preach a message, and it goes out there, and it's going into your ears, and it's going into the dirt of your heart, praise the Lord. And depending on what kind of heart that is, depending on what kind of dirt that is, it's either going to get planted good or it's not. And what happens is some people, because let's see, what kind of ground are we talking about here? Is wayside. Praise the Lord. I actually saw this once. I saw a church called the Wayside Church or something like that. I'm like, why would you want to be called the Wayside Church? Yeah, I mean, I think it's local too. I mean, I don't want to get too much into it, but like, why? I mean, you look at what the parable of the wayside is. That's not a good ground. So I wouldn't go to that church. I'm just saying. I mean, just by the name on the door. I mean, it'd be like putting, you know, like this is the devil's church on the door or something like that. You probably ain't going to show up there Sunday morning, right? You know what I mean? This is the church of boils and diseases. You're probably not going to go sit in those services, right? I'm just saying, praise the Lord. But to the wayside, the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. See, the devil is coming around. He comes around to each one of us. You know, pastor preaches a message about on how to take care of this or how to take care of that. And then guess what you see in your life? This or that. Don't you always do it? Isn't it? I mean, how many times have you left church, you got stirred, you got excited about the message that was preached, and then you go out there in the world, and immediately that's what happens. Guess what? Satan comes immediately and tries to take the word. And depending on what kind of soil your heart is, sometimes he gets it. These are the people that fall apart immediately. They just fall apart. They don't know what to do. Amen. But he goes on to say, these likewise, so this is similar. It's a different kind of ground, but it's similar, are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Now, see, the first one are people that didn't necessarily receive it with gladness. The second one are people that sit there and said, amen. Glory, hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Lord, pastor, yeah. Woo, glory. Get up and run, dance, shout, do all these kinds of things. You know what I'm saying? These are people that get excited about it. Yeah. They receive it with gladness. We need to talk about this here in church. There's a lot of people who receive nothing with gladness in church. It's like I said, you know, I'll keep bringing this up. 2 weeks ago, I preached on the power of God, and everybody looked like they wanted to go to sleep. I mean, I don't know how you can do that. But if that's where you're at, you got to understand you're not going to walk away with the power of God. We have to, listen, we have to do things if we want an outcome. Why do people know everywhere in life, everything we do in life, we have to do something to activate it. If we want a paycheck, what do we have to do? We have to work. I mean, they're trying to take that away, trying to make it so you don't have to work for a paycheck. But praise the Lord. Glory to God. But the proper way to do it is to work for it. If you want to increase in this country, it's a wonderful thing that you can increase no matter where you can come from, the depths of poverty. And you can become a millionaire or a billionaire just by working through the process of whatever, right? That it's just a way. But you're not going to do it sitting on your butt. You got to do something. This is common knowledge. Sometimes people inherited money, but they still have to do something with it. Even if you inherit money in order to keep the money. Do you know there's people that do that? There's people that have pilfered inheritances away because they just did nothing with it. And then there's people that are smart with it, and they take it, and they invest it, and they do things, and they increase as a result of it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's just the way things work. Everything in life, if we want, you know, if we're hungry, you have to get up and eat. You can't receive food by osmosis. You can't, you know, you see the cooking show on TV, you're not going to receive what you're eating or getting there unless you get up and make it or get up and buy it. But even then, you got to do something to get it, amen? So why do we think, if everything in life works this way, why do people think that for some reason God doesn't? If everything God designed works by us interacting with it, then why would we think that God is separate from it? He's not. He isn't. God doesn't do things so differently that we can't see it. We must do something about it. If you are having troubles and trials in your life, if you have sickness in your life, if you have lack in your life, if you have whether the lack is financial or natural or material, or whether that lack is emotional, or that lack is in peace, or that lack is in joy, whatever it is, if you are lacking anything, you must do something about it. Why? Because the sower sows the word. He who wants a harvest must plant to get it. If you want a harvest, seed time and harvest, it will remain. It will keep going. It will as long as the earth remains. So you might as well just get used to the fact that that's what you got to do. Stop crying about it. Start doing something about it. Amen? And it happens with the word. Now listen, we all are given a little bit of space. All right? Pastor Jeff, give you a little space. You can have your moments where you have a little bit of a breakdown. You can have your moments where I don't know what I'm going to do. But then you pull up your big boy pants or your big girl pants, and then you continue on. You say, all right, well, let's do something about this. Praise the Lord. One thing that is the most annoying thing in probably all of this world, and all of you will agree with me, is somebody who perpetually complains. Somebody who's perpetually, everything is always wrong. It's always bad. It's always this. It's always that. So do something about it. Stop complaining. Start sowing something other than the garbage that you are always sowing. The garbage you are always sowing is with your mouth. It's always bad. It never works out. I'm always sick. I'm always poor. I'm always this. I'm always that. God gave you the seed. He said, till the ground, put the seed in, and get a stinking harvest, people. Come on, do something about it. You got to do something about it. See, the ground, you go out there in the ground, there's lots of ground out there, amen? There's lots of good ground out there. You can grow a lot of things in this area. But I'm going to tell you what, unless you go break up that ground and start tilling it up and start doing something with it, you're not going to grow a good harvest. You're just not going to get it. In fact, you know, when you buy a tree, one of the things they tell you, if you buy a tree, you want to plant, you don't just dig a hole and plant it. You dig a hole, they say, twice as big as the root ball. And then you get real good soil, and you mix it in there, and you get it all planted around there, and you get those roots ready to go into good soil. Why? Why do farmers dump manure on the field? They're not just trying to get rid of it, although it's a good way to get rid of it, but they're not just trying to get rid of it. They're trying to prepare the soil to receive seed to grow a good harvest. You have to prepare the soil. You always do. God said it back in Genesis through Moses. He said, you always prepare. Yeah, it's seed time and harvest, always. So you got to do the same principles that apply here, apply in every area of our lives. So let's let them apply. Amen? And glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, this is the difference between, listen, we all go through it. We've all been there. You know, we've all been where we complain too much. I myself done it this week, I'm sure. Have I done it this week? Probably have done it this week. By the mouth of my wonderful wife, praise the Lord, I probably complained this week. I'm not saying that we're going to be perfect, but we have to work towards perfection. And the amount that we work towards that is going to determine the amount of harvest that we're going to get. Amen? Praise the Lord. Where were we? Glory to God. Does anybody know? There we are. Mark 4:16. Yeah, just go ahead and leave those scriptures up there. Praise the Lord. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness. Verse 17, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises, for what? The word's sake, immediately they stumble. This is very important. I want you to think. Have you ever seen this in your life? Someone who has come in, they've received it with gladness. They receive the word with gladness, right? And they endure for a time. They do well for a while. And then afterwards, tribulation comes. What's tribulation? Something coming against them, right? Tribulation comes, or persecution arises. And we're told here why it does. Why does it happen? It's coming to steal the seed, the word. It always is. It's coming to steal the seed. The devil knows that if he can get your seed, he can get your harvest. So what does he do? And weak people, and this is why we got to uphold people that just come in. And maybe people that are dealing with things that come in, we have to uphold them in prayer and pray for them. But this is also why some of those people don't make it. And it has nothing to do with God's power. I said it has nothing to do with God's power. Jesus said this. It's not God's power that keeps you or that hasn't worked. It's their unwillingness to till the soil. They have to prepare the heart. Listen, this is why we preach the things we preach. This is why we hammer the things we hammer. You think that I'm just hammering things because I don't like it? Why do you think we hammer things about marriage? Because so many people in this world look at marriage completely the opposite of the way God created it. They don't even realize that God created marriage to show us what our relationship with them is like. And so if we look at marriage bad, then we are looking at our relationship with God bad. Because God gave us that as a direct correlation. The Word uses it over and over. If you got the Facebook message, listen to Pastor Tim's Wednesday night service last week, and you will see. You need to look at things correctly, because if you don't, you won't have a harvest. You will stop the harvest. See, it matters how we look at the things that God gave us. If we look at, God says, don't call those things that are good evil. Actually, he said in the last days, that's what people would be doing. He said they would be calling things that are good evil and things that are evil good. That's exactly what's happening. People are calling things that are evil good all the time, and they're calling things that are good evil. That's why Christians should never, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to say it right now. If there's somebody new that comes in, I'll give them a little bit more leeway. But don't you dare, if anyone's sitting in here today, don't you dare ever say anything bad about your spouse, about marriage in front of me. Don't you dare do it, because you're going to see my teeth. I'm just promising you from now on, because I'm not taking that garbage anymore. It is a covenant between man and woman that God gave us to show us his covenant between us. Do not run on it. It is precious in the sight of God, very precious, to the point where you will lose blessing because you talk bad about it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I'm on that rant, but praise the Lord. It was good. No, good anyways. Amen. So we see this, that Satan is coming to try to steal the word. He's trying to get it from us, because if he does it, he knows that we will stumble. Amen. Now, these are the ones that are sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. Look at this. They hear the word. Again, so all these people have heard the word. Are you hearing the word when you turn on CNN? Are you hearing the word when you turn on Fox? Whatever, ABC, if you turn on any news station. I'm not just talking about news station. If you turn on American Idol, are you hearing the word preach? If you go to Congress, are you going to hear the word preach? Probably not. If you go to school, are you hearing the word preach? No, probably not. See, the people that are hearing the word are the ones that are sitting in church. Those are the ones that are sitting before the word. So these scriptures are talking about people that are in churches. You understand, this means that every single one of us determines what kind of ground that we're going to be. This is one of you. You are one of these. There are basically, I'm just going to give you a preview. There are four kinds of ground that Jesus talks about. You are one of four kinds of ground. Only one of those four kinds of ground produces anything at all. Only one. The rest of them don't produce. And those ones that produce anything at all, only out of that, we're going to see this, only that one only produces so much. Each one. There's different kinds in that even. So there's four kinds of ground. So we're one of the four, amen? These are people that have heard the word. So now these are the ones that are sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world. Oh my gosh. Everybody get ready. This is where toes start getting stepped on. The cares of this world. What are the cares of this world? What do you care about? What are you caring about? What's getting you? What's always dogging you? What's that thing? You know, is it your job? Is it your family? Is it your spouse? Is it your friends? Is it your grandma? What is it? What is that thing? What is that? What are the cares of this world? They're all wrapped up in this. Amen? the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. You know, the deceitfulness of riches is not, this is not talking about wealth. You understand that? What this is talking about, because here's the thing. The Bible is very clear that it's not just those who are wealthy, that it's not those who are wealthy that are sinners. It's those who are consumed financially. Do you know the deceitfulness of riches, that includes people who are completely poverty stricken? Absolutely it does. How do I know? Well, the last time I remember being in this place, I remember being so low I was reaching up to touch bottom. I remember being so poor that I couldn't pay attention. I remember being just having absolutely nothing. We couldn't even pay. I mean, we've talked about this before. I remember being there. What did I think about 24/7? It was money. What happens when you have a financial need? What are you thinking about? Money. That's a deceitfulness of riches. That's all that is. It's always a deceitfulness of riches. Listen, if you learn to trust your God, you will never concern yourself with money. You won't have to. You will not concern yourself. If you learn to trust God, you will not. Why? Because he supplies everything. Listen, I'm speaking right to the heart here, and I know I'm talking to all of us, me included. Because as a pastor sometimes, I see these things. You know what I told my wife recently, I got set free recently. Amen? I mean, I got set free. I'm not going to worry about nothing. I was like, Lord, you want this work to work, you got to take care of it. Now, I preach things to people because I'm trying to get people helped. Everything we preach is trying to help people. It's bring them up to a different level. But if you won't go, you won't go. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to sit around worrying about it all the time. I surely ain't going to give it my thought. I'm not going to give it my time. Why? Because all we do in doing that is we become the seed among thorns. Amen? Listen, we understand that there's things, but God has promises. Everybody say, God has promises. Those promises are for me. Guess what? Well, I mean, no, I'm telling you, guess what? Glory to God. Guess what? Those promises are for you. Hallelujah. Ain't worried about it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, man, I just love how God comes through. You know, I love how God always comes through. He always takes care of us to those who trust him. That means you put your trust in him and you say, okay, I'm going. Sometimes you step, you know, and sometimes it's with each little thing. Sometimes you just step out in the limb. You're like, all right, Lord, I'm going. I'm getting out there. You see me going? You know, we got to talk to him, make sure he's watching us. I'm right at the edge, God. I'm going there. And then you just, you step right off in that thing and he meets up with you every time. But you know, I was telling my wife this, you know this offering we were talking about. You know, every time we've sold a big offering, the devil tries to steal it from us. And I know that I need to do it. But there's always that fear. Like, first of all, listen, I ain't got $2,000 laying around to just take out of the bank and put into the offering. Otherwise, I'd do that. If I had that, I'd do it. But see, I don't have that. And so I know that in the natural, if I take money, if I'm going to put money towards an offering, my wife and I are going to do it. If we're going to do this, what we have to do is we have to start believing God. And then anything extra that trickles in or anything else that we can find, we got to funnel that way because that's the goal. That's how you do it. It's an uncomfortable place to be. But that's the place of blessing as well. That's why we also walk in blessing, because when we do that, God always, but see, it's a heart issue. See, and it's not just about the offerings. You know, people think that you're just talking about the offering, but what you're talking about is the heart. You're talking about the heart. Do you trust God or not? Look at his word and say it. You know, you don't have to take my word for it. Take his word for it. Like I said, if you're not at a place, you don't have to look at, like, you know, like I said, we worked up to where we're at now with an offering like that. I know people that have sold $40,000, $50,000. Yeah, I'm just talking about not thinking about it. I know people sold $500,000. Just sold it. I'm not at that place yet, but I want to be there. But I don't get there sitting on my duff. You want to be there too. Guess how it starts? Where it starts with where it stretches you. Starts where it takes faithfulness. Wait, can you go before God every day and say, Lord, I'm believing you to help me get this $50 to sow. And I'll bring it a dollar at a time if I need to. And then you keep tracking, you do it. And then at the end you say, praise the Lord, there's your step. And you know what? You're going to see your blessing on the other side of it. The blessing is not always just financial. A lot of it will come, but you'll see the blessing on the other side of it. And so then that'll help you go up to maybe $100. And see, you don't get to $500,000 overnight. You get there by working up to it. Well, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the heart. I'm talking about what do you trust God with. Praise the Lord. Do you trust God with your time so you can say, you know what? God wants me to spend time with my family. That means I don't necessarily, listen, we all need to work. But that doesn't mean that you necessarily have to work 2, 3, 4, 5 jobs. You need to learn how to trust God so you don't have to. Because God will cover you. Because God blesses people who get to spend time with their families. He didn't give us families so we didn't enjoy them. He didn't give us families so we don't see them. Praise the Lord. A lot of times this is with fathers, but this goes for mothers too. We need to start trusting God. We need to learn how to believe God for these things. And releasing faith always starts with a step. It always starts with a step. That means you can't just sit. Listen, put that down so I don't throw it. A step is a step. It means you're doing. You're moving forward into something. You're doing something you didn't do before. Praise the Lord. The only way I'm going to get from here to there is a step there. So you must do something to do it. Faith is always, it always needs action. It always needs us to put forth that effort and say, you know what? I'm going somewhere I've never been. I'm stepping out in something I never have. I'm doing it, and it's uncomfortable, and I'm going to do it anyways because I know that's what I need to do because that's the only way I get from here to there. Praise the Lord. You will never have harvest if you never sow. I am not talking about finances again. I'm talking about whatever it is, wherever you're at. Maybe it's health. Start getting a scripture. Start learning that scripture on healing. Start sowing that seed. Do it day in and day out. Don't let it go. And when you got that one, praise God, get another one. And start getting that one sown into you. Take a step towards it. Start confessing right. Instead of saying every day, saying, oh, I feel miserable, start saying, Lord, I thank you that I'm healed in Jesus' name. I thank you I'm full in Jesus' name. I have the health of a child, praise the Lord, in Jesus' name. Do whatever it is, you start, you know, and there's scriptures that talk about these things, but you start doing it. Listen, you got to take a step. If you sit on your duff and never do anything, if you always do what you always did, you're always going to get what you always got. Right? That's the way that it's going to be. Praise God. You're never going to change it because you can't change it unless you do something about it. Praise the Lord. This is where the heart comes into play. Because we're going to see this as we go, that the heart, by the heart, determines what we do. A condition of our heart determines what we do. That's why people who are by and large, they're not in church. That's why they're always kind of a little bit wishy-washy. They'll never have a lot. They'll always have ups and downs. You know, God doesn't mean us to live like this. He means us to live like this. Just like that. We know we shouldn't be living like, if we're Christians living like this, we're off. Do you know, I've had this said to me, and it's the truth. But I would like to think that, I don't think I'm at this place yet, but I'd like to think that I'll get there at some point. But, you know, we need to live in such a way that if somebody came up to us and handed us $100,000, we'd think nothing of it. How many people could say they'd do that? Oh, I'll tell you what I'd do if somebody handed me $100,000. I'm doing laps around Mayville, man. I hate to run, but I'd run then. Hallelujah. Well, somebody come up to you and say, I just paid your mortgage off. Praise the Lord. What would you do? We got to expect things like that. If we're doers of the word, is what I'm saying. You can't do nothing like you're going to get that. Listen, anything we preach here, don't expect you're going to receive anything of it if you don't ever do anything about it. If you don't ever connect to it, if you don't ever get excited about it, if you don't ever stir yourself, if you never do anything, you're just always the same Christian. Don't expect you're going to get anything. I'm just telling you, you're wasting your time. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. We want to be those who receive. Glory to God. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke out the word. And it becomes unfruitful. Can I give you an example of my own life? In my own life, you know, I have a bent towards I have a creative mind. I have a bent towards wanting to create things, create businesses, to do things, and see things. All the times where I could be fruitful, and I've had opportunities to make lots of money, all kinds of things. I'm just talking about living, you know what I mean? And all the time, I have this kind of pull towards that. But see, the word that the Lord spoke to me was that you're called to pastor. You're called the pastor, and he hasn't changed that word yet. As much as I know, he hasn't changed it. In fact, he's still being pretty effective at it. So I'm assuming that because God hasn't changed anything and we're doing what we're called to do, that it must be right. Amen? But, you know, there's times where my heart desires more. There's times where I don't want to go to church 3 times a week. I understand it. There's times where I don't want to be nice to people. There's times when I want to be doing my own thing and just do what I want to do and just be left alone doing it. Amen? You know this. This may surprise you, maybe a little bit. I don't even necessarily really enjoy just being around groups of people all the time. To tell you the truth, I don't. A lot of times, I like doing things my own way. I don't like things about people. I have issues with things about people. I'll just be honest with you, right? You know what I mean? Those things you're like, why would people do that? You know what I mean? Stuff like that all the time. Get that while I'm driving. Why would you do that? Why would you pull out in front of me and go 20 miles under the speed limit? I don't understand. Why would you do that? Why don't you just wait till I go by you? Praise the Lord. You know what I mean? You forget I'm driving a Ram. You don't get in front of a Ram. Ram you. Just the name. You know what I mean? You don't step in front of a Ram. Hallelujah. But you know what I mean? I get annoyed by things like that. I get annoyed by little things people do. But praise the Lord. I'm called to pastor. I'm not called to do all these other things. I'm not called to build big businesses or to do whatever I want to do. I'm not called to do that stuff. But the desire can be there sometimes and it can be distracting if I don't deal with it. If I don't say, no, this is what I'm called to do. I'm not letting the devil steal the word. What was the word? I know that God told me that this is what I'm supposed to do. It wasn't just told to me, but it was confirmed in other men and women of God, praise the Lord. And so I trust that. I believe it. The word, I see it in the word. I see it in my life. Praise the Lord. I know what the word is. I'm not letting the devil have it. I'm not going to be distracted by other things. And so there's times when I get opportunities. And sometimes, I'm just going to be honest with you. I have opportunities randomly where a $2,000 offering would be nothing. Where I could go do work for maybe a day, even a day or two, and pay an offer like that without thinking about it. But see, that's not the way it works for me. That's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to do what I'm called to do, and in that is where God supplies me. You understand? And when I say supplies me, that's where my joy is. That's where my peace is. That's where my family is going to be the most blessed. That's where we're the most satisfied. That's where we walk into all the blessing of God is when I operate, my wife operates according to what we are supposed to be doing. It doesn't happen otherwise. See, those desires. So it doesn't have to be, you know, when it says, praise God, what scripture was that? Verse 19, it says, and the desires of other things entering in choke the word. See, the desires can choke the word out of our life. The things that we allow to come in can choke it out of our lives to where the word becomes less important and those things become more important, and then it becomes unfruitful. Listen, if you've seen somebody who used to be faithful coming to church and maybe they're not so faithful anymore, something's entered in and start choking out the word because they're not holding on to that thing anymore. Praise God. See, we determine, guys. We determine what we're going to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. But these are the ones that are sown on the good ground. Oh, finally, Pastor Jeff, we're there at the good ground. Hallelujah. I want to be good ground. Hallelujah. But these are the ones that are sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it. Look at that is there. Accept it. They accept it. This is mine. I receive that, Lord. And bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Praise God, hallelujah. Christians that don't go to church are not Christians that can bear fruit. They won't ever bear fruit. They may bear some kinds of fruit, but they'll never bear what God wants them to bear. They'll never do that, absolutely. We've seen this over and over and over again. I mean, from the time I was in just getting faithful all the way up through now, we've seen it over and over and over again. Christians that you've talked to, they know, they've heard the word, they know that they need to be, they know what they need to do, and yet they keep getting choked out. It keeps getting choked out. They allow it to happen. They're bad ground. I was talking about one such family with another pastor. This is sad. I was talking with this other pastor. I was like, the Lord has showed me things about that. There's so much God has for them to do. So much for them to do. And yet they just don't get it. And he said to me, he's like, have you ever thought they're just not good ground? I didn't want to believe that. But, you know, the thing is, the fruit of what they do proves it. Glory to God. It happens all the time. All the time. I'm not just talking about one family. I'm talking about this happens over and over and over. The same pastor, we're talking about other people. They do the same thing. He sees the same thing in his church. There's people that are faithful. Praise the Lord for them. And listen, we're for everybody. But there's people that just will only go so far, and so they'll only have so much. They'll never walk in the fullness of the blessing of God. But they'll be the first, sometimes they'll be the first to call out and they say, well, the healing message doesn't work because I didn't get healed. Well, you didn't get healed because you didn't do the word. Some people will say, the tithing message doesn't work because you didn't do the word. If you don't do the word, listen, if you have to be one who desires to do the word. Doesn't mean you have to be perfect. There is a difference here. You understand there's perfection which we are not going to obtain. But we shoot for perfection. Right? If you're shooting for anything less than perfection, you're a fool. And you're wasting your time. Why would you like you say, well, it's good enough. It's good enough. I mean, how would you like you had somebody come over and they're gonna re-drywall your house, and you come over and they hung the drywall kinds of ways, and they have seams and joints showing and everything, paper tape hanging off, if you know what that is. If you don't, let the ignorant be ignorant still. But it doesn't look right, it doesn't look straight, nothing looks right. And you come in and you say to your contractor, you say, like, I paid you twice as much that I paid everybody else to come in here and do this, and they say, it's good enough. What would you do? Well, first, you'd probably be getting a lawyer and taking care of business because you wouldn't accept that. Well, why would God accept it? You know how many Christians go, that's good enough. I go to church once, twice a month. That's good enough. You know, I do something nice a couple times a year. That's good enough. I've sowed into this offering once. That's good enough. I've done this. I've done that. Good enough. I talked to one person one time that I had, I mentioned Jesus one time, and, well, you know what I did? I shared one of those stupid posts that we share and that we, if you love God, you'll share this kind of stuff. That doesn't prove you love God. That just proves you're a gullible fool. Yeah, don't post that stuff. It's stupid. It doesn't prove anything. If you shared one recently, I'm not calling, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, I love you. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying is, if you're moved by, like, oh, this is God. This is God because I shared this post. Facebook, obviously, my ability to share this post on Facebook obviously shows that I love God. That's what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. If you want to share, God is good, praise God. Hallelujah. But, we have to look at things rightly, though. We have to rightly divide the word. I determined a long time ago. I was like, you know what? I do not want to be one of those Christians that are deceived. I don't want to be it. Because the Bible talks a lot about the elect being deceived, a lot about it. I don't want to be one. I just refuse to be it. I am not going to accept something because it's good enough. I don't accept something from somebody's mouth. You know what? There's going to be a lot of people that will say, you know what? I don't believe in that tithing message. They'll say a tithe is whatever you want to do with it. They'll say stuff like this. I'm speaking to the heart right now. Praise the Lord. I say, it's whatever you want, whatever your purpose. No, the Bible distinctly talks the difference between tithes and offerings, and I've seen them work in people's lives. There will be people that talk, but people will be deceived because it's what they want to hear. Well, God didn't mean he would heal every time. God wants you to have this sickness. It's what you want to hear. Because, see, when it takes a responsibility off you and puts it on something else, then it's acceptable. If you can blame everything on God, that's why so many people believe that garbage. Why God took your baby. God didn't take your baby. He doesn't take babies. He doesn't need babies. If he needed babies, he wouldn't give the babies. But he gives the babies, so he doesn't need them. He doesn't give them and take them. That's mean and cruel. Amen? God doesn't take babies. He doesn't take people. He doesn't kill people. That's not God's job. That's not his MO. That's not what he does. But people will receive that because it takes all the responsibility off of them. Do you know there'll be people in the church? There's probably some of you sitting here today. There's probably in a few of you, at least in some things, where something I've said that you've accepted something lesser because it wasn't what you wanted to hear. But see, it was the truth. I can't help. I can tell you examples. I tell everybody that I ever meet with on the same thing. Every person that I ever meet with about when they talk about the church, met with a new guy last night, and I tell them all the same thing. I'm probably going to meet with them again, but I tell everybody that I meet with the same thing. If you come to church and you do what the word says, what the word is preached, and you follow the word, you will see your life changing. A year from now, you won't recognize it. 2 years from now, you'll be so far away from it that you'll be like, was that even me? And in 5 years from now, you won't even know anything about your past anymore. I'm just telling you the truth. I tell everybody the same thing because it's the truth. Guess what? The same thing was told to me. Why did it work in my life? Because I stayed. Because I stayed connected. Because I was drawn away by other things, just like everybody else, but I decided to stay. You know what I mean? I'm talking overall. Yes, we may flip-flop a little bit. You may have a week where you had a bad week, but then you get back up on that horse and you keep riding. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, time is ticking away. Praise God. Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. I love this scripture. every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Have you ever met somebody who wasn't wrong? Like most everybody? I love this when it comes to God. There are so many people, there's so many Christians who will tell you all about God and what God wants and what God won't do and all this stuff. And it's funny because none of what they're saying is written in here. It's right in their head because that's what they want to believe. See, it's easier to believe that because then there's no responsibility. It's easier to believe that you don't need to be in church because then there's no responsibility when you don't go. When you think, well, I can have God out on the boat. Well, praise the Lord. I've been out on the boat praising God. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, I only find God in the sanctuary. Just telling you the truth. That's where my life was changed. It was right here. It wasn't changed on the boat. I got the boat because my life was changed. Just going to be honest with you. Honestly, that's the way it works. You serve God, you follow God, and He'll bless you. The blessing of, but He won't going to bless you with stuff that will just ruin you. Amen. And so this is the way it is. You probably talk to people who are believers. Listen, I don't care if people are believers. Believers doesn't mean anything. Are you a Christian? Are you somebody who truly believes? Not just somebody, when I'm saying believers, I mean people who say they believe in God. It doesn't matter if you believe in God. It won't do you any good. Do you believe in who God is? Do you believe in what He says? That's where the proof is. Amen? Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Glory to God. I saw, what was that? It was the most despicable thing. It was a pastor that was saying it. Somebody sent me. It was a quote from a pastor, and I can't even remember what it was. And I'm like, dear Jesus, has this man ever read the Bible? But then I thought, to take it even further, something that really just blasted my goat, hallelujah, was that, sorry, I just made that, I don't know what it means, but it's not good to blast goats, so don't do it, praise the Lord. But it just got me all fired up. I'm like, this man leads people. He's telling people this garbage. And there's people in this world that believe is garbage. There's people that believe in these lying ministers who are preaching the devil's doctrine from pulpits supposed to be God's. And then they wonder why the people are lost and scattered because they don't have a real pastor. They don't have a real shepherd. They're out there living in the world like the world, and the shepherd's encouraging them to do it. For God's sakes, we see this happening in churches all over where pastors are getting wrapped up in stuff and they're leading people. Listen, you've got to live right, people. You've got to live good. And the one who's leading you better be living right and good. I'm not saying I can't miss it. Dear Jesus, I know that I can. And I try to stay as humble as I can because I don't want to miss it. I don't want to fall in someone else's sin because I'm sitting there judging. I'm not talking about that. But sometimes we got to say what's right and wrong. And a lot of stuff that's happening in churches today is not right. It's wrong. I just quote my Bible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We don't want to be wrong. We want to be right. We want to be right before God. Not going around preaching garbage untruths. Praise the Lord. Psalm 44:21 says, would not God search us out? For He knows the secrets of the heart. God knows what a heart is. Praise the Lord. So I've got to ask you this. How would it be fair to allow people to go through this? How would it be fair to allow people to receive this if they couldn't do anything about it? If you can't change your heart, if you have no control over your heart, then how is it fair of God to say that there's different kinds of ground and only one's going to receive? It wouldn't be fair. But see, that's not the truth. We have the ability to change it. Amen? Turn with me to 2 Timothy 2:19. Glory, hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2:19. Gotta find it. There we are. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Pretty clear right there. Now look at this. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. I was a vessel that contained absolute refuse. disgusting. That was my thoughts. That was my desires. The things that I did. It was foul. It was vile. It was vile in human flesh, much less before the Lord. I can only imagine how he looked upon it. Vile. But I cleansed myself. I allowed myself to be cleansed. I did the things that I needed to do to clean up. I changed and made the changes I needed to change. And that's why I get to be a vessel used. Because I've been one that's been cleaned. Amen. You can't be used if you're not cleaned. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, so many people, they want the blessing of God, but they don't want to be clean. They just want what they want. And I'm just going to tell you, those people will never receive anything. If you don't get saved and have a desire, even a remote desire in you, to promote the gospel and to start heading that way and start serving the one who saved you from hell. If you don't have that in you, then something's wrong, but you probably didn't ever really receive. And there's people that sit in churches like that all the time, people that never really want to go any further with God. They're fine. They just wanted their fix, and now they got fixed. And so, you know, they may come to God once in a while or whatever. They may pray for a meal here or there, you know, whatever, but they never really do. I know lots of people. Like if I wear a T-shirt that said that God is good or something on it, or if I have a share a post that says God is good, you know, I've seen that, and that's a lot of, praise God, hallelujah. I'm not saying every time, but there's a lot of times when I used to be on, like, Facebook, you know, social media. This is how I told my wife, this is why I had to get off it, because I just get too mad about people, you know what I mean? And I don't want to be hating on everybody all the time, but it's just people do dumb things. But I'd see people, like, I would see somebody share a post or something like that about how, you know, Jesus and this and the Word and all this stuff, and I'm thinking, these people are living like the devil. I know they are. Because they're not even trying to hide it. They're just out there living like horrible, rotten lives. And then they're sitting there publicly. You know what that's doing to the world? They don't realize they're being used. They think they're being used of God in that moment. But they're being used of the devil in that moment. Because everybody else in the world is saying, I know them. Yeah. We've had people in our family talk about this. People in our family that are saved. That have come up to us. That we know people mutually. And they say, doesn't so-and-so, don't so-and-so, aren't they a Christian? Don't they go to your church or whatever? They're out doing this. Like, do you know that that speaks to the world? It's the devil speaking to the world. And they're not just falling victim. They're like, they are offering themselves up to Satan. They think they're doing a service to God. They're offering themselves up to Satan. And the whole time, they're making the faith look like an absolute foolery. Like, it's amazing the way the devil has got people duped into that. But see, they're deceived because they don't submit. They're deceived because they won't. You know, it means to submit. Submission is not a bad thing. We all need to be submitted. Do you realize that even if you came up to me and you told me, unless I'm directed by the Lord, even if you came up to me and you said, this is what I'm going to do because this is what God showed me to do, if it was wrong, I'm not going to tell you? Because I can't. I can't tell you that something you believe is wrong if you believe God's telling you, because I can't be your God. That's why it's important to submit. When I go to my pastor to bring something to him, I don't tell him. I bring this up and I'm like, Pastor, what do you think about this? Judge this. Judge this. There's a good, safe place to be. Judge this. I go up to somebody else that's, I have people that are trusted in ministry, that are friends of mine, that aren't my pastor, that I sometimes will go to and I say, judge this. What do you think about this? And then we maybe have a back and forth discussion about that. But you see, people trust it. I'm not talking about the one who's doing the things they know are wrong. See, a lot of people go to them because they want them to justify it, because once they justify it, then, you know, it's okay for me to do it. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why so many Christians are drinkers. Right there. That's why they do it, and they think that there's nothing wrong with it. Because they'll find some other Christian who's a drinker, and they say, well, this is all right. This is all good. It's all good. No, if you're doing it, all you're doing is you're showing the devil. You're showing the devil you're willing to do to be duped on anything, do just what he wants you to do. And you're showing God that you're not serious, and you're showing everybody else that you've talked to about God that it doesn't really matter to you. That's exactly what it's doing. Probably that's for somebody out there. I don't know. Maybe it's for a bunch of people. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, we got to be careful of these things, because what we do speaks to the world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I know people who have gone out and they've talked about God and they preached at people and talked about God so much, how good God is and all the stuff God is doing. And then they go out and openly sleep around. Boom, 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 boom. And guess what happens? They're preaching a message to the world. Don't follow my God. It's just foolishness. Christians look like fools because they act like fools. I'm just telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. We have to cleanse ourselves from these things. Well, we're pretty much there at the end. I'm not going to get to all of it, but I think that we got enough of it to get what we need to get. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to just end with a scripture real quick. I'm going to preach on it. Just tell you this. Proverbs 23:7. For he, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. We determine the condition of our hearts. Amen? We determine what kind of heart it's going to be. Start tilling it up. If you want good fruit, listen, this is to take us into good ground. We want to be good ground with good fruit. Let's do it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah.